14th story, A Prisoner Promoted. One morning the king of Egypt awoke from sleep, very much troubled and disturbed. It was some 2 years after the reestablishment of the chief cupbearer in the royal service. The pharaoh had dreamed 2 dreams, and he did not know the meaning of them. He was very anxious to understand them. He sent for the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. These were 2 classes of the priests. They came before the king, and he recited his dreams to them. He said, I stood beside the river Nile, and there came up out of the water 7 fat cows, and they fed on the reed grass growing on the banks. While I stood looking at them, 7 other cows came up out of the river. These were poor, lean, and weak. As soon as they saw the good kine feeding nearby, they came after them and ate them up. I fell asleep and dreamed again, and the meaning of the 2nd dream must be like the first. Behold, 7 fat and good ears of grain came up on 1 stalk. Then 7 ears, thin and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them, and the thin ears swallowed up the 7 fat ears. The wise men considered, then said to the king, We cannot interpret your dreams, for we do not understand them. There would be more significance in this kind of a dream to the Egyptians than to us, because the cow was a sacred animal to them, with which the gods had especially to do, and the success of the crops and the fertility of the soil was due to the river Nile and its annual overflow, for in that region it never rains. So the fact that in the dream the cows came up out of the Nile signified, the wise men felt sure, something peculiar. The stalk of wheat with many ears is one of the kinds of wheat still grown in Egypt. The east wind of that country often springs up with great violence. It blows over the deserts with clouds of sand and is so hot and dry that it withers all growing things and so parches them that no animal will eat them. The chief cupbearer, as he stood before the king, overheard Pharaoh and the wise men talking. He learned that they were unable to help the king, and he saw how troubled he was. All at once, he remembered Joseph, the overseer, in prison, and the interpretation of his own dream which Joseph had given. How could I have forgotten him? He said to himself. He might give light on the Pharaoh's dream, and I had intended to try and get him out of prison. Poor fellow, how long has he been shut up there? He hastened to the king and told him what had happened 2 years ago, how the baker and he had dreamed, and a young man, a Hebrew, who was the keeper of the prison, had given, as it proved, the true interpretation of their dreams. Go, said Pharaoh, at once, and bring the young man to me. They hastily brought Joseph out of the dungeon. Before he went into the presence of the king, he shaved himself and changed his clothes. The Egyptians shaved the hair from their faces. The men were always particularly clean and beardless. The Hebrews thought shaving was a mark of disgrace, but now Joseph was wise enough to appear well in Pharaoh's sight. The king said to him, I've had 2 strange dreams, and the wisest men in my kingdom cannot explain them. I have heard it said that when thou hearest a dream, thou canst interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, Not I. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Then the king repeated his dream, and Joseph said, What God is about to do, he hath declared unto Pharaoh. The 7 good kine are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. Both dreams mean the same thing. The 7 lean kine that came after them are 7 years, and also the 7 empty ears blasted with the wind. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And then there will come 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten, for the famine will be very severe. The double form of the dream tells that this will surely come to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man who is discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. And let overseers be appointed to take up 1/5 part of the produce of the land during each of the years of plenty. Let them gather the food that comes in these good years and lay up grain in storage in the cities for provision during the 7 years of famine, that the people may not perish. This suggestion seemed a very wise one to Pharaoh and his attendants. There were granaries in Egypt where grain could be stored. He said to his officers, "Can we find a better man than this one in whom is the Spirit of God?" And he turned to Joseph and said, "Since God has showed thee all this, there is none so wise as thou. Thou shalt be over my house and my people. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." Then the king took off his signet ring and put it upon Joseph's hand. The signet was of great importance to Egyptian kings. He hung a gold chain about his neck. This collar of gold was the sign of a high Egyptian official. He gave him rich robes to put on, like those worn by the nobility. Then he had him ride in the chariot next to the king's. As he rode along, the king's servant went before the chariot and cried, "Bow the knee!" We read in other stories of men running before the chariots of kings. Today, an Egyptian shout, similar to this one, is made in the streets of Cairo in Egypt to clear the way for any great personage to pass through the crowds. So Joseph was made governor over all the land of Egypt. Another sudden change. In a dungeon one day, in a position greater than all but that of the king himself the next day. Such promotion to high honor or the reverse was not unusual in that day and country. Sometimes a man would suddenly please the king and he would be raised to a high position. Another might offend and as quickly be deposed. Pharaoh gave Joseph the Egyptian name of Zaphnath-Paneah, which means God spake and he came into life. He presented to him one of the Egyptian maidens for his wife, Asenath, the daughter of the chief priests of On, one of the leading cities of the land. It was called the City of the Sun because it was the center of sun worship. Its priests were the most learned in the country, and the high priest was an important person. To marry into his family was an honor in itself. Joseph was about 30 years of age when he became governor. For about 10 years, he had been a slave. Now he went out to his important and responsible work. He traveled all over of Egypt, making plans for storing the grain. During each of the 7 years that followed, there was a most abundant harvest. Joseph had his men go out into the fields round about every city and take 1/5 of the income and store it in the granaries. The crops yielded so well that the grain was like the sand of the sea. It could not be numbered. The granaries were filled to overflowing. Before the years of famine came, 2 sons were born to Joseph and Asenath. He was still enough of a Hebrew to choose Hebrew names for his boys. The ancients always considered the meaning of the names, and he called one Manasseh, which means making to forget. "For," said Joseph, "God hath made me to forget all my toil." The other he named Ephraim, because, said he, "God hath made me to prosper in the land of my affliction." The 7 years of plenty went by. In the next year, the ground was very dry. There was no overflow from the river Nile, and so no water to make things grow. The weather was very warm. Vegetation was parched and withered. Finally, everything perished. So it continued in the next year, and the next, through all the 7. The famine was very great, but throughout Egypt the granaries were full. Soon the people had no grain of their own left. They were running short of all kinds of food. They came to the Pharaoh and begged him to give them some. He said to them, "Go to Joseph. What he says to do, do." Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold the different kinds of grain to the people. They had money, and so, as long as it lasted, it was well for them to pay for the food they needed. Egyptian money was in the form of rings of gold of different weights. Joseph's understanding of the dreams and his wise plans were now praised on all sides. The people looked up with him almost with the same reverence as they had for the Pharaoh himself. Famines were periodical in Egypt. There is a most interesting story inscribed on one of the old sepulchres. In this story, Baba is represented as naming over his good deeds. Amongst others, he says, "I collected corn as a friend of the harvest god and was watchful at the time of sowing. And when a famine arose, lasting many years, I distributed corn to the city each year of famine." It is not known which one of the pharaohs or kings of Egypt Joseph ruled under, nor the exact date in which he lived, but it may have been in the time of Baba, and the famine referred to in this story may be the same for which Joseph provided. There was a race of kings in Egypt called the Hyksos kings. They were rough and hardy shepherds who, with large bands of people, came from the east and invaded Egypt about 2,000 years BC. The Egyptians were not strong enough to drive them out, and they succeeded in seizing the throne. Ever since that time, they have been spoken of as the shepherd kings of Egypt. Their descendants ruled the land for at least 4 centuries, after which the power of Egypt rose again, and its own race of kings came back to the throne. It is likely that Joseph ruled under one of the later of these Hyksos kings, who had adopted Egyptian customs and ways of living, but who, like Joseph himself, belonged to the Asiatic race. While this king's ancestors had lived in Egypt for 200 or 300 years, he would be more likely to place a Hebrew in office than would one of the Egyptian pharaohs. Often when Joseph was very busy, in those days of his rulership, he would look back and think about the old days. How different the present ones were from the long, irksome ones in the prison. Then he would think of those 2 years in Potiphar's house. They taught him much of Egyptian ways and life. Again, his thoughts would go back and back and back to the old home in the country, to the elder brothers who had sent him away, especially to the little brother Benjamin, whom he would like to see, and to the dear old father who had done so much for him. When would an opportunity come for him to find out something about them?